It's Saturday, April 16th, 2016. It's a little chilly this morning, maybe not a frost delay, but it'll be a little while before you feel a little warmed up. Looking forward to a great show this today. We got Steve Coleman's in the studio. Steve this is not a new thing for him. He's been on the radio before, so he's looking forward to getting his radio chops back on. We're going to be talking about his fitting process that he had at Pete's Golf Shop. But we're going to take a short break. We'll be back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorgia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabile has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to have in studio my good friend Steve Goldman. Steve, how are you doing today?
Very good, Anthony. Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. No, pleasure to have you. Steve and I go way back. We've been probably friends too long, actually. Made a good 10-plus years. But Steve and I have played plenty of golf together through the years. And for years, I've been telling Steve to, you know, we'd be talking about getting fitting. And, you know, we like to play golf, but we like to talk golf as well. And so, and obviously we had plenty to talk about after the Masters last week.
We must have sent each other about 10 text messages in about 5 minutes.
Exactly. And most of them are, you know, and if anybody's listening or if anybody has any young children, it would probably look like two 16-year-olds talking. It was like, OMG, it was like all this stuff that, because we couldn't believe what was going on. And it took, like most golf fans, took quite some time for us to wrap our brains around what had gone on. But
it's so funny. Every year, you know, obviously it's a cliche because it's true. The Masters doesn't begin until the back nine on Sunday, and you think Jordan Spieth. I'm thinking, where's going to be the drama in this? Jordan Spieth's comfortable,
right?
He's heading to the back nine. He's got a four. He's got a 5-shot lead.
Yeah.
And then 30 minutes later, it's gone.
Yep. And, you know, they used the perfect word, drama, because if I had told you before the Masters started and I said, Steve, listen, I got word it's going to be exciting Sunday. There's going to be a meltdown. You know, I'm not going to tell you, but it's going to be great. You would never, no. Nobody would ever pick, you know, Spieth to be the guy to be the one that happened to.
No, because he never showed any propensity for doing that in the first place. I mean, you and I talk a lot about him specifically, and we use the word compartmentalize.
Yeah.
I mean, I am just amazed that this guy can have a bad hole, can make bogey, you know, either a 3-putt or he couldn't get up and down, and all of a sudden the next hole he rips his drive down the middle and makes birdie, and he's back on track. It's amazing how he's able to just be in the moment on every shot.
Yeah, it is amazing. And I think one of the things that we've come to realize and not to kind of throw this around loosely, but we know he's human, but he also, I think he was just spent. I think he had been taxed. He had, to the point where it just kind of, and unfortunately it all came at the wrong time. He had been fighting his swing, cracks his driver. He's a returning champion. You know, there's a lot of stresses going on, they're not excuses. It just seemed to me be the, you know, what we saw in 12 was sort of like the culmination of, I'm out of, the tank is fully empty.
And it also leads to bad decision making.
Exactly.
I mean, I've been watching the Masters, I'll say 40 years.
Right.
And I've never seen anybody take a drop after hitting in the water on 12 where he took his drop.
Right. Exactly. And he said as much.
Yeah. And it's, you know, fatigue has a lot to do with it, because we're mortals, not even mortals when it comes to playing this game,
right?
But the grind, and this is how these guys make their living, and
and
the fact that they have to be, they have to make the right decision. And look, he's got a great relationship with his caddy, and I'm not blaming one side or the other, but it's just, sometimes you just, when you're really mentally fatigued, you make bad decisions. Yep. And that's the other thing, because like we said at the time, look, just airmail the green on 12, make four, whatever it is.
Exactly.
Or don't even think about carrying the water. Just get it on the green anywhere, two putt, three putt, whatever it is. Just get off the hole and get onto the next hole and do whatever you can.
Well, and even to the, you talk about the fatigue, the fact that he, as smart as he is, as great as he is, literally admitted that he basically did the same thing he did last year.
Right.
When he came to that hole. I mean, he basically did the exact same thing. And I don't mean just by putting it in the water. I mean, he made the same swing. He did the same, and he never backed off, and he never, I know he was worried about the wind, how far the draw would go. But the bottom line is, you don't want to come up short.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't care if you're worried about how far the draw goes versus the fade. The bottom line is long is better. Long is usually wrong, but long is okay there.
Yeah, absolutely. And this, the notion that people started saying is like, well, how's Jordan Spieth going to recover from this? Oh, what's going to be the rest of the majors? Yeah. I said, do we forget Rory McIlroy 2 years ago was in a similar position? He shoots 80 at the Masters and blows a lead. What did he do? What did he do in the next major?
Yep.
He shatters at Congressional.
Congressional, yep.
And then moves on, and now he's got major championship after major championship.
Speaking of Rory, just a little, my only concern with him is that it's very odd to publicly admit that you have a mental block with Augusta National.
True.
It's the only major that returns to the same place, and now you're saying I have a problem where I have a mental block with it. That scares me a little bit. I kind of thought he would break through eventually. It just wasn't his time, or when things came together for him. But then when you start admitting publicly that there's a mental block, it's one thing to have a mental block on a hole. When you're worried about the whole course, that's the only thing that scares me.
Let's not forget, he's not 42. He's 22.
Exactly.
And if you've ever heard him be interviewed, he's nothing but brutally honest with himself, with the team around him, about the game itself. So you're right. It seems kind of silly for him to say that, but it's typical Jordan Spieth for him to say that, because that's the way he feels, and he's not going to shy away from that.
Okay. So enough about them. Yes. Let's talk about us, because it's about us today. I wanted to bring you in because, despite my advice, you ignored me for so long. You finally listened to me, or you finally came to the decision that you wanted to get fitted.
Yes.
And in fact, you didn't even tell me. You just called me one day and you're like, I'm in, and you're like, I'm in for the full Monty. I'm going for the full Monty. And I said, I'm like, that's awesome. But what's the full Monty? Like, what are you doing?
Right.
And then you're like, I'm going to see Pete, or I'm going to Pete's golf shop. Now, before we even get to that, we played golf for a long time, and you've seen my bag change over the years, and it's become a mixed bag of stuff, and we talked about it, but before we even get to you walking in the door, Pete, or even picking up the phone to make the appointment, what were some of the things that you were contemplating before you decided to really pull the trigger? Because I don't think it's uncommon for people to really labor over the point of whether I should get fitted or not.
Well, certainly. Well, I've had the same set of clubs. I was trying to do the math before, because I believe I got this set of clubs, I want to say, in 1999. So I've had this set of clubs for 16, 17 years.
Right.
And it's somewhat fitted. It's one of those sort of online. It was, back then I didn't know any better. I didn't know you, so I didn't know. I certainly didn't know any better. But I didn't really know anything about it, but I knew I wanted to get a set of clubs, and they gave me a nice deal, and I talked to them over the phone, and they asked me, what do you usually hit off the tee with your driver? What's your 150 club? Do you have a tendency to fade and draw? Just some sort of basic standard questions. And they fitted me over the phone and online for complete set of irons, and they threw in some woods, and then it was maybe I want to say a couple months later, they had a deal, and they also offer this deal that, you know, you play the clubs for 45 days. If you don't like them, you can send them back, and we'll just pay, you know.
And you're a and to be fair to the folks listening, you are a recreational golfer. You're not.
Yes.
I wouldn't say you're a serious golfer. You love the game. You're serious about the game. You love the game. I know you love the game.
Yep.
But, you know, you have, this is something that you just do recreationally in a, on occasion, and, you know, it's not like a 2 or 3 days a week thing.
Well, it used to be when I, when I'm a teacher and I worked in a different district, I found a bunch of colleagues that loved the game as much as I did, and we actually had a 1 day a week league.
Okay.
Where we would play after school on a Tuesday.
Right.
And when that relationship ended, then I really didn't have any reason to sort of play golf during the school year.
Right.
So I just became almost exclusively, I'll go to the range during the school year, just work on my swing and just keep it, you know, keep it in tune. And then when the summer came, then it was just play, you know, we play twice a week, maybe three times a week, whatever it is, whenever I get a chance, whenever some friend, when a friend of mine says, hey, I'm going to get a tee time at such and such golf course, you want to play? If I'm available, I'm available. So I basically, it basically just became, and still has now become, just a summer activity.
Right. So, you know, so you decided to pull the trigger.
Right.
And what was the deciding factor for that?
Well,
maybe just besides the idea that you figured, you knew that your clubs were old.
Right. I mean, well, most of it had to do with that, with the fact that I said, you know what, I need to get a new set of clubs. I mean, they basically have kind of run their mileage.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, you and I, you know, we not only work together as teachers, but we also work together in certain athletic events with the school. So when I started just casually broaching the subject and said, you know, I'm thinking of getting a new set of golf clubs, you know, you had it in my ear. And of course, I listened to On Par with Anthony Scorsia all the time. So you said immediately, he said, you got to go to Pete's and you got to get fitted.
Right.
And I said, okay, I'll think about it and consider it. And it was probably, I guess, about a year ago.
Yeah.
Because I also know, look, golf is not a cheap game.
Yes.
And, you know, getting new equipment is not inexpensive.
Right.
So, you know, there's some financial planning that has to go into making the decision. You can't just snap your fingers one day and say, okay, I'm going to go to a store and get a brand new set of clubs.
Right.
And just say, oh,
especially if you're married.
Yeah, right. I said, oh, I got the money right here. No problem.
Right.
So there took a little, like I said, a little financial planning, a little saving during the wintertime of doing some other jobs outside of the teaching.
Of course.
And like I said, when I talked to you and said I'm gonna go get fitted, I mean, you said, look, go to Pete's Golf, those guys are great. And it said, you know, and like you said, look, they sponsor the show, you know, what's that opinion worth? They're paying you to have a radio show,
right?
So how good can it be? And I said, well, look, I don't know any better. I trust your opinion on golf. I mean, like you said, we talk golf all the time,
right?
So once I you know, gathered enough capital and made the decision, I said, let me go. And I went to the website and made an appointment.
Yeah. And obviously folks listening know that Woody's been a big part of the show. Kirk has been on the show. And they are one of my sponsors. And so, and the only thing I will to say to that, because I had told Steve, I said, I know you feel like I'm saying this because, but I only direct people to the previous story that I've told countless times, and I'll tell it real quick for new listeners alike. And that is, you know, there was a time where I didn't have a show, and I didn't know Woody and I didn't know Pete from a hole in the wall. I just kind of did some research. I found out about them. I had a driver that I was fitted for by a guy down in Washington who is very connected to the tour, a friend of Tim Fincham's actually. So he knew what he was doing. And so I had gotten fitted for it, and then I came back up and I said, you know, it's something I played with it, and I needed an adjustment. Now, obviously, I wasn't going to back down to Washington, but I went to Woody because I knew they were the best in the area. And Woody said, and after an hour, and I paid my money, and Woody said, I can't help you. Like, I can't. He goes, I could make something up and give you a new driver and pretend, right, but this is the proper shaft for you. Like, this was done. The fitting was done properly. and I spent my money and I didn't buy anything. And, you know, I spent my money for the fitting and I walked away and I wrote an article and people have read it. And it's sometimes, you know, the quality of a merchant by what they don't sell you and not just by what what they do sell you. So, and so if, you know, that's what I was basing my, that has been the foundation for my relationship with Woody. And then I came back to him afterwards when I asked him to be part of the show. And so that's, but Steve, you know, I could tell Steve that story and I can tell people that story. And so, and I feel like I have to, because I want them to understand that this is how I know these guys. And so,
and we're being a little tongue in cheek. I mean, yeah. Look, they wouldn't be sponsoring the show unless you believed in the product in the first place.
Exactly.
I
mean,
you're not just taking their money and just claiming that they're a great product. You have to believe in it. So
absolutely. And more importantly, they're not just part of the show, but they're friends.
Yeah.
And you've met them.
Yes.
And to meet them is to have a new friend.
Absolutely.
Because they're just tremendous. They're just quality people from top to bottom, A to Z. We're going to take a short break and we'll get back into the process of fitting. Because as I said, Steve went through the whole full Monty. So we'll be back in 1 minute, actually. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
In studio, Steve Goldman with me to join me to talk about the fitting process. And Steve, what about the, let's talk, where'd you start? You signed up for the full Monty for people, I'm joking around, the full deal, which is
the
basically.
The premier fitting,
right. So that's A to Z, top to bottom, that's putter through driver. You finally make the decision, you go in there, what was it like?
Well, it was great. Well, first of all, you go to petesgolf.com and there's a button you click that just says, you know, make an appointment for a fitting, and they give you all the different price structures about what you want. They explain very clearly on the website what it is, depending on what you're paying for. They'll tell you what it is that you're getting fit. And I said, well, look, if I'm getting a brand new set of clubs, I said, let's just get this all done. Let's just do it all right now.
Sure.
So I signed up for the premier fitting, and they tell you on the website that you should budget 4 hours for the process.
Right.
So, and then you look at the calendar, you choose an available date, you decide if there's any particular person that you want to work with, whatever it is. So I made an appointment, and I met Pete. And from the instant, you know, Pete made me feel welcome. He asked me tons of questions I wasn't even prepared for, because
like what?
Well, like what my jacket size was, and right. You know, what size glove do I wear? You know, because of course they ask. He said, you know, how often do you play?
Sure.
And what's your handicap? And
what's your miss?
Right. He says, what's your tendency? But like I said, they asked me about everything, about my body type, about, you know, what my tendencies are, you know, what's my one, you know, he says, if I put a 7-iron in your hand, what would you typically hit it? All sorts of questions, even before we started swinging a club and everything.
It's like an interrogation almost, like you feel like, you know, it's a full inventory.
Yeah. Well, because it's not just, because as I found out with the swing, it's not just, you know, how far do you hit it and whether it's straight. It's
right.
There's so many other factors that go into how a golf ball travels off of the club head that they need to know, or they want to know all of this information, because they want to be able to, well, for lack of a better term, fit a club that fits your swing. They don't they don't just want to sell you a piece of equipment that's not going to work for you.
Right.
So I went into, and they have three, if I remember correctly, huge simulator areas. So mm-hmm. I went into one simulator area, and the other thing that I always keep forgetting because you and I are both lefties. I keep forgetting. I keep forgetting that golf is a righty dominated sport.
Right.
So when I walked in, I said, "Oh, I forgot to tell him I was a lefty," because he had everything set up for as if I was a righty. So he said, "Okay, no problem." It took him like a minute or two to recalibrate everything and set up the system. But I always keep forgetting that I need to tell people that I'm a lefty. I'm not embarrassed by it, but I just keep forgetting.
I'm a lefty too, so don't worry.
Yes, exactly.
I know.
That's why we're a perfect pair. So Pete just, I walked in with my clubs. He said, "Here, take a 7-iron, take a few swings, and just get a feel." And he just basically pointed me on a target line. And with the simulator, I took a few swings. He looked at some of the data and, you know, threw out some of the, you know, obviously not every swing was going to be great.
Sure.
So he threw out some of the swings that were, you know, kind of outliers, if you will. And from that, he looked at all sorts of data. He also had these tiny little sensors that he put on the club face. He put one on each corner of the club face, because not only what they measure, like I said, it's not just a matter of distance and accuracy. They measure spin rate, they measure launch angle, club head speed, ball speed, and they even show you the path that the club makes to the ball, whether the toe is up or down,
angle of attack,
you know, whether, you know, is the divot too shallow, too deep, all this information. It was, I mean, you could seriously go on information overload with just everything. And that was just with like seven swings.
Right. As a man being comfortable with numbers, you were like right in your wheelhouse.
Absolutely. As a high school math teacher, I was eating everything up. Because like I said, there's so many things that I didn't think about, like how much backspin the ball had off the club head. Like I said, I never even considered whether the toe was up or down on impact and all those other things. You know, I'm just trying to keep the club head on plane, and I'm just trying to make a smooth swing.
Yeah.
So after a few swings with my club, then he said, "Okay, I think I have an idea." And then we talked about shafts and about, you know, what type of shaft, you know, how stiff it should be. And they have all sorts of different equipment to measure the weight of the club and how flexible the shaft is. And of course, they have all these interchangeable club heads. So he says, "Okay, let me see if this club head works." And as soon as I took another seven swings, you could immediately see the difference in the outcome.
Sure.
That the ball was going, it was going higher, it was going farther, it was more accurate. And again, it didn't take that long to develop a cluster of shots to be comfortable and to say, "Okay, this works, this doesn't work.
Sure.
You know, we'll try this, let's not try that. Let me try this angle, let me tweak this thing and that thing." And the whole time, Pete was talking to me. He wasn't really teaching me anything about the swing, but if there were some serious flaws that he noticed, like with my driver, I mean, it's one of the major flaws of my game is I can't hit driver anymore because it goes either way left or way right. I'm pitching out for three, or I'm hitting it out of bounds,
right,
and I'm reteeing for three. I said, "Screw it. I can't hit this club anymore."
Right.
And as soon as I started taking some swings, of course, all those mental thoughts go into your head that you can't swing. But Pete just noticed a few things. He says, "Hey, I noticed when you take the club back," he said, "first of all, you're taking it back too far past parallel." I said, "Gee, I didn't even realize that. Okay, let me shorten the backswing."
You're not Phil.
Right.
You're not.
Clearly not. Although he's only a couple of strokes better a hole than I am. And he also said, when you take the club back, he says he noticed that, yes, I was transferring my weight, but I was basically swaying with the hips instead of turning. I was swaying.
Right.
So clearly I wasn't at the right impact position.
So he gave you like a couple of little guiding.
Right. Well, because the way I was swinging the driver, he said, these shots were going all over the place. There was nothing he could do to draw a conclusion about what I needed as a driver.
Right.
Because I wasn't hitting anything that he could use.
Right.
So as soon as he gave me those two tips, I'm like, "Oh, I didn't think about that either." So I took a shorter backswing. I made much more of a hip turn rather than a sway, and then I was hitting the ball a lot better. Yeah, right. They weren't perfect and they weren't accurate, but at least it was about 7 to 10 swings with the driver where he could throw out a couple and he says, "Okay, now I've got something that I can work with."
Right. What did you, when you go through the process, what, like, couple of things, just because, and I think quite frankly, this needs to have a part two.
Yeah,
just
probably.
You know, I know. I think it's because I think this can be like a little bit of a series.
Yeah.
Is the way I'm looking at it, and we can kind of break down each component because each one is distinctly different.
Yeah.
And so what I think I'd like to do is have you back again, but just in the short term, because we're nearing towards the end here, and I don't want to leave in the middle of something.
No, of course not.
So just when you look back on it, maybe a couple of things that stand out to you about the experience and maybe what you learned.
Well, first of all, like I said, it's not an inexpensive process. So if you're thinking about getting fitted, especially for a brand new set of clubs, you have to understand that it's an expensive game. But but if you think about it in the long term, I mean, you're really, like I said, it's kind of like buying a house. I mean, yeah, it's expensive when you buy a house, but the idea is that you're going to live in there for 30 years. So you want to make the right decision. You want to pick the house that fits you. It's the same thing with golf clubs. Now, granted, 30 years is a long time for golf clubs.
Right.
But if you think about it as the investment over, let's say, 10, 15, maybe even 20 years, if this is the set of clubs that's right for you, then you're never going to want a new set of clubs.
Right.
But aside from that, the service, I mean, obviously these guys know their business. They know it's a well-oiled machine because, you know, without getting into too many details, like you said, it wasn't all 7-iron, 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 driver, driver, driver. It was, you know, hit a few, talk a little bit. And then he's like, well, okay, let's take a break. Go to the putter studio. I met with Sonny, who was doing the putting. And he opened my eyes to a whole bunch of things. The first thing of all that I didn't even realize is that my putter is bent.
Right,
and that everything, because every putt I was hitting was going off to the left. I thought I was pushing everything because my swing stinks.
Right.
And he asked me, he's like, did you notice that your putts always go to the left? I'm like, well, I don't really pay attention, but yeah, I guess now that you mention it. Looked at my putter and he says, you know, your putter's bent. I said, I had no idea. He said it was actually bent two ways. He fitted me for a new putter. I took about seven more swings. Everything was dead center. He handed me the putter right on the spot. It says, here's your brand new putter.
Awesome.
And that was great. But just from a customer service standpoint, these guys know their business. It's like I said, it's a well-oiled machine. And I could not have been – I mean, when I walked out of there, I could not have been more excited about the season that's upcoming. And to put my hands on these clubs and to be able just to even take them to the range and to swing them for the first time – I cannot wait to get out there and just to see the level of improvement that I expect out of the equipment.
Exactly. And I can't believe – I'm a little disappointed that your first thought was an I owe Anthony dinner. Damn. Let's take a short break before we wrap things up. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. All right, we're back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. My guest is Steve Goldman, who had recently gone to Pete's Golf Shop and has been a long time a friend of mine. And despite me telling him to go, he finally did go, and obviously it was a wonderful experience. And so, and you could hear it in his voice. You can sort of, you can tell that he's really happy with the decision that he made. Steve, thank you for coming in this morning, first of all. And, you know, and I think it's really been very educational I hope it's very educational for people like yourself, you know, for others who are wondering whether or not I should do this or not. Because I don't know, I think there's a lot of misinformation out there. I think there's a lot of people who contemplate, you know, whether they should do it or not. And it's sometimes, hopefully, this is like something that helps people make a decision to do the right thing, really.
Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate you having me on. And I guess I would say if you don't want to dive in and get the full set, well, then get fitted for a driver or something. Pick one club that you think that can help your game and get that fitted. And I think if you do that experience and you realize, especially at Pete's Golf, if you realize how professional they are, you're going to regret it.
All right. That's well said. And we'll be back next week. And look for more from Steve. I'll have him back again to educate us in the process. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Enjoy your week, folks.